the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get to the sports talk, I just wanted to say that I just dropped a new lyric video called "Ite," and it's off of my collab project with my label mate Lex called Concrete Sessions Volume 1. You can find Concrete Sessions on all digital platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, and then you can find the lyric video on my website, katietrop.net, or on the Black Man Records YouTube page. Check it out if you want to. Also, this week on, I'm the commissioner of a few, fantasy basketball league, fantasy baseball league, and a fantasy football league. And this week we actually just started, the playoffs in fantasy basketball. And so I kind of wanted to give a shout out to, everybody who made the playoffs in my league, Lakers champs. The number one seed ended up being pick and roll, which is actually quite, that's usually where he ends up in the number one spot. Almost none of us can beat David ever. He's really good in fantasy baseball too. I kind of wish he'd just fucking go kill himself so somebody could actually win these leagues other than him. So he's in the number one spot currently right now. He's got a bye week. Then Rattlers, they're the number two spot, and he also has a bye week. And then great team, Crazy Crackers. That's me. I'm the number three seed. Then the number four seed is Cyclones. Number four seed is Running of the Bulls. And the number six seed is the Lambeer's Bad Boys. And this week, the first matchup is Team Crazy Crackers versus Lambeer's Bad Boys and Cyclones versus Running of the Bulls. And so we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys apprised who wins my league, because it's my fantasy league, and I can give shout outs if I want to, bitches. Especially if I win, you know, I'm gonna be talking some shit. But like I said, pick and roll, team pick and roll, man. He usually kicks our asses in the postseason. He actually usually kicks our asses all freaking regular season and postseason. And basically, the running joke in both my basketball and baseball leagues is that he kicks our ass every year. But for some reason in football, he's not that great. That's where we kick his ass. So that's where we get our revenge. But that's what's going on in fantasy basketball playoffs right now. But damn, we had a lot going on this week in sports. Not only did we have March Madness, how's everybody's bracket doing right now? Mine's not doing too bad, but we'll catch up on brackets at the end of the show. But I mean, just so much went on with all three sports this week. So let's go ahead and kick it off with baseball, because we're going to have some baseball. You know, spring training started this week for all the teams. We've got all the games going on this week, the spring training games. So it's great to have baseball back. A couple of injuries actually to start the season off. Unfortunately, the spectacular shortstop Fernando Tatis with the San Diego Padres, he ended up breaking his wrist at some point during the offseason, and he's going to be out for 3 months at least. That actually sucks for me personally, because I do have him as a keeper in a couple of my fantasy baseball leagues. And so that kind of sucks, but he's an excellent player. And it just sucks for the whole league, because he's the next, he feels like he's the next dude who's going to take over the league. And, you know, the Padres have actually played pretty well since they drafted him. And so it sucks that we're going to miss him for the first 3 months. And then Chris Sale, the pitcher of the Boston Red Sox, he's going to miss at least a couple weeks to start the season. He ended up breaking, he has some broken ribs. So that's just more injuries right there for the league. But then we had a whole bunch of free agent signing this week, since we didn't have anything going on since December. Anthony Rizzo ended up re-signing with the Yankees. The big signing, which I'm not happy about, is Freddie Freeman ended up going to the Dodgers, of course. And the reason why that pisses me off is because I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, so I never want to see the Dodgers improve. And it seems like every freaking year, for at least the last, I want to say the last, like, seven to 10 years, the Dodgers have just continue to pick up all the great players. Now, granted, it hasn't turned into many championships for them, thankfully, but still, I never want to see the Dodgers improve, and they ended up getting Freddie Freeman. Now, granted, Freddie Freeman is on the downside of his career. I mean, as a Brave, that dude was one of the best. In my opinion, he's already a Hall of Famer. Him getting his World Series ring last year, I feel like really put him over the edge to be a Hall of Famer. He is at the end of his career right now. So I don't wish him any ill will, of course, but hopefully this is the downside of his career and it ends up being a wash for the Dodgers. But they're still a good team in LA. So, I mean, they just got better with Freddie Freeman. Then Zach Greinke, the pitcher who's been with the Houston Astros for a few seasons, he actually ended up going back to Kansas City. Signed with Kansas City. That's where he started his career. He ended up moving around from the Dodgers, then to the Astros, and then now back to the Royals. So home sweet home for Zach Greinke. I don't think that's a bad move for either him or the team. I mean, I don't really expect the Royals to be much of a good team this season. I expect them more to be middle of the road, but and you know, Greinke, he's at the end of his career too. So I mean, this is probably the best way for him to end his career is back in Kansas City. But I don't think it's a bad move for either party there. Then my San Francisco Giants, they did make a move this week. They signed Joc Pederson. He just was with the Atlanta Braves this past season, won a World Series. He was actually a huge part of their playoff run. So I think that's a good addition to their batting order because they definitely need some help. That's where I think my Giants need the most help is in the batting order. And I think Joc Pederson, he can only help them out there. The only problem with him is he is pretty injury prone. So we'll see where that goes. Also Eddie Rosario ended up going to the Atlanta Braves, which I think is a great move by the Braves. Eddie Rosario is the reigning NL MVP. So, he's had a great couple of last seasons. So I think Atlanta picking him up only makes them better. Chris Bryant, I wanted him to re-sign with the Giants, but he's going to stay in the same division and he's going to the Colorado Rockies. So, you know, Colorado's getting a good player right there, and so I'm pissed off that the Giants didn't get him, but hey, that's the way it goes. And then just a few hours ago, Luke Voit of the New York Yankees ended up getting traded to the San Diego Padres. Voit is a home run hitter for sure, but usually his batting average is pretty low, so he's mostly just known for hitting it out of the park. Which could be a good thing heading to San Diego because San Diego is definitely a home run hitter's park. So that could actually end up being something good for the Padres, especially now that the NL has the DH. That could be a good position for him because Voit is also very injury prone as well. So we'll see what they do with him, especially that Tatis is out. I think he could come in and fill in a role that they're definitely going to be missing in their batting lineup for the time being while Tatis is out. And then a few free agents that are actually still left out there. Trevor Story, the shortstop, he played for the Rockies last year, or actually the last couple of seasons. He's still out there, shockingly, and he's a top shortstop in my opinion. So maybe he just has so many offers coming his way, or it's just difficult for him to make his decision. But I'm kind of shocked he's still out there. So I kind of expect him to be signed any day. Then you also have Carlos Correa, who's still out there. It sounds like he's going back to the Astros. We'll see what happens there, but that's what all the news has mostly been, is that it looks like the Astros are where he's going to be going back to. And then Nick Castellanos is still out there. I think he's going to be a good guy to fill in for a DH position. I'm actually kind of hoping the Giants are at least looking into adding him to the batting lineup. So those were all the moves in baseball this week. And since, the season's right around the corner, we're only a couple weeks away from the regular season. Actually, next week, I'm going to start breaking down each division and each team and what I expect from them and who I expect to make the playoffs this season. And then who I think is going to end up being the World Series champion. So with that being said, I'm actually going to start off with the top five baseball teams to watch this season. And it doesn't necessarily mean I think they're winning the World Series. It doesn't necessarily mean I think they're going to be the best team in the league. As a matter of fact, there's a couple on here that I don't expect to be the best team in the league. So let's kick it off with the first team to watch, I think, is actually the Atlanta Braves. And the reason why is because they are the defending World Series champions. It's always difficult to repeat, especially in baseball. Baseball, it's always been difficult to repeat because the season's so long that anything can happen. And then injuries happen and just the playoffs are always, it's always crazy. That's why they have a series for each playoff because, you could get the best of a team in a 5 or 7 game series. So you could be down and then you can make the big comeback. And that's just the thing about baseball. So it's always difficult to repeat. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Braves repeat this year. And it's just because they made a lot of good offseason moves. It does suck that they lost their dude, Freddie Freeman. He's been a Brave through and through. They drafted him. He grew up there. And he did nothing but great things for them. And so it sucks that he's not going to end his career there. But at the same time, I think the Braves just only got better. I mean, like I said, they got Eddie Rosario this week. And I think he's only going to help their batting order, which was already good. Then they traded for Olsen as well earlier this week and signed him to a big extension. So they were able to replace Freddie Freeman with a better, with a younger guy who's going to take over his position, and I think can do well taking over his position. And then you got Acuna, who's going to be coming back at some point this season. I don't recall seeing at what point he's going to come back, but I mean, even if he misses like the first month or two of baseball, it's really not that big of a deal. Whenever he comes back, he's going to make an impact. And then at some point, I assume they're going to get Soroka back in their pitching lineup. So that just means their pitching is only going to get better. And so I do expect the Atlanta Braves to at least compete for a World Series. I don't know if at this point I have them winning the World Series again, because like I said, this is baseball and it's always difficult to be a defending champion and go back and win back to back. But the Braves, I think they can do it because they're a really good team. And they only got better this offseason. Then the number two top five MLB team to watch this year, I think, is the New York Yankees. And I don't think it's for good reasons, because the New York Yankees have actually been very irrelevant over the last, God, probably like 10 years now. Because the last time they won a World Series was back in 2009. And, you know, Derek Jeter retired, God, like 6-7 years ago now. And the Yankees have had their spurts. They've had their moments. It's not like they've had bad players. You know, Stanton, great player. Aaron Judge, he's turned out to be a great player for them. But for me personally, watching them, their pitching has been the problem. And they don't seem to get better with pitching. And they didn't get better with pitching, at least in my opinion, this offseason, to make me go, oh, wow, they're going to be a very competitive team when it comes down to it. Because while, yes, offense has grown in baseball. And I mean, it's they want it to. And that's just what everybody wants to see. More points, more runs, more offense. But at the end of the day, when it comes to winning a series and when it comes to winning playoff series, even though the way pitching has changed over the years, you know, starting pitchers don't usually go longer than 7 innings these days. Hell, they barely even go 5 innings these days. So pitching has definitely changed, but you still need solid pitching. And the Yankees don't have solid pitching, and they didn't get better this offseason with their pitching. So I kind of look at the Yankees and I go, are they even going to be in the playoffs again this year? Because that's what I mean about them being relevant is if you growing up as a baseball fan, we all know the Yankees are usually the team that's always winning. And like I said, they haven't won a World Series since 2009. And even in between 2009 and now, 2022, they haven't really made any noise in the playoffs. And So I look at the Yankees and I go, are they going to be relevant this year? And they didn't make a lot of offseason moves where I look at them and go, well, that's a team that I think could compete for the World Series. Now, I very well could be wrong because they do have some power in their lineup. And they do have one of the best starting pitchers in the game with Cole. But other than Cole, their pitching is very mediocre. And I think they could get rocked at any time. And it's shown over the years. So we'll see what the Yankees are able to do this year. I actually root for the Yankees. Like I said, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. But Derek Jeter is actually one of my favorite players growing up. I loved Derek Jeter. And so I've actually always rooted for the Yankees. So I want them to be good. But I just look at them and I'm just shocked that they don't do anything to improve the team, especially with pitching, and they didn't do it this offseason. So we'll see where they're at this year. Then the number three team for my top five MLB teams to watch this year, my San Francisco Giants. And that's, can they build off of last year? They had a very successful regular season, that's for sure. They had one of the best regular seasons they've ever had in the history of their team. And I was actually very shocked because I went into last year with very low expectations of the Giants because they didn't really make any big moves in the offseason. But the moves they made ended up turning out to be great moves. Their starting pitching absolutely dominated last year. And I think they only got better this year at the starting pitching with Carlos Rodon signing a couple weeks ago. He's had a great couple of seasons with the White Sox. He tends to be a little streaky, but he was very solid last season. And I think he can only make the Giants have a better starting pitching staff than last year. So I definitely like them there. My only issue with the Giants is their batting lineup. They are old. Brandon Crawford, he's only getting older. Brandon Belt, he's only getting older. We lost, like I said, Chris Bryant to the Rockies, so we don't have him anymore. And while we only had him for half a season last year, because we ended up trading for him, you could still see the boost he added to that batting order. And then, of course, Buster Posey retired this offseason, and he's been the dude in our batting order basically ever since we drafted him. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. Now, granted, now Joey Bart's finally going to take over for Buster Posey and fill that position, but also at the same time, he hasn't really shown much to me to make me go, oh yeah, that's the dude to replace Buster Posey. Because, I mean, you do have big shoes if you're filling Buster Posey's shoes, because he was a legend for the Giants. I mean, you can't say anything bad about Buster Posey, at least as a baseball player. I don't know him personally, obviously, as a baseball player, he's a Hall of Fame player, in my opinion, and he did nothing but great things for the Giants. And I mean, he won MVPs, he won Silver Slugger awards, he won Gold Gloves, he won World Series, most importantly. And so those are big shoes to fill. And so obviously Joey Bart, he's high ranked. They've had high hopes for him since they drafted him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. But the Giants' batting lineup is very, very suspect to me. And so hopefully they can build off of what they did last year, but they still have the Dodgers in their division. And, the Rockies just got better with Chris Bryant signing. So we'll see what happens with the Giants. I do expect them to still be competitive, but I think what they did last year is going to be difficult to repeat. As long as they get into the playoffs and they go a little bit further than they did last year, that's what I'm going to be most happy about. Then the number four team in my top five MLB teams to watch are the Cincinnati Reds. And the only reason why I put them on here is because I think they're going to be the worst team in baseball this year. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati, but they are getting rid of every single halfway decent player they have. They got rid of all their good players, but they're even getting rid of like the halfway decent guys where you're like, oh, they're good for a little bit. But I mean, they're getting rid of everybody. So I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati. I don't know why they're getting rid of everybody. But they're not going to be a good team at all. And I think it's very, very possible that is going to end up being the worst team in the league this season. And that's why I put them on there, just because that's what I think of them. And then last on my top five MLB teams to watch, I think is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And the reason why I picked them is because this year, finally, we get to see Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in the batting lineup together for hopefully a full season, because, you know, the last couple of seasons, both of them have been injured, and when one's playing, the other one's injured. When the other one's injured, the other one's playing. So they haven't really been, we haven't really seen what the Angels are with both of these guys. And, you know, Shohei Ohtani, I really, really like. I mean, first and foremost, it is fucking awesome to finally see a baseball player who wants to be a pitcher and who also wants to bat, and who's really good at it, too, both positions. He's really something else to watch. When you watch him, it's hard to explain, because I personally, you know, I've been watching baseball, like, my entire life. So watching him, I'm like, wow, I have never seen anybody play like this. And not just because he plays both positions. I'm actually most talking about the way he hits. He's so controlled when he's at bat. And when you watch him, you could just see, like, he just is thinking of every single aspect of hitting the baseball. I can't explain really what I'm trying to say about him, but he's just an excellent player to watch. So I love watching him. And I also love Mike Trout. He's just a phenomenal baseball player. But I really am interested to see what happens with the Angels this year. If both of them are able to stay healthy, if both of them are able to play at the high level that we expect them to play at. Because I think they could, if everything works out for the Angels and they're not really hit by the injury bug, I actually think they're going to be a very good team this year. I think they're kind of the dark horse team, in my opinion. Just not only because of Trout and Ohtani, but they also ended up adding Noah Syndergaard, who used to pitch for the Mets. They went to the World Series one year when he had a great year. He's had injuries over the last couple of seasons, which is what has been his problem as of late, but I kind of feel like that was a great addition for the Angels. And so I kind of look at the Angels as being a dark horse team this year. And I'm personally really looking forward to a batting lineup with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. And then also seeing Shohei Ohtani pitch one day and then have Syndergaard pitch the next day. So I think the Angels are one of the top teams to look at this year, in my opinion. So that's for baseball talk. Now let's move on to the NBA. Not a whole lot happened in the in NBA this week. There were some more scoring flurries. It's crazy. Since the All-Star break, I mean, we've had so many dudes score 50, and then this week we had two guys drop 60 points. So first, Karl-Anthony Towns started the week off by dropping 60 points and 17 rebounds in a win against the San Antonio Spurs. So, and the Timberwolves, quiet team, nobody's talking about. I actually almost, there's been a couple of times in my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've almost put them at 10. But because they're the Timberwolves, I haven't put them there. But they're a team you got to watch out for, who can make some noise come playoff time. And especially if Karl-Anthony Towns is dropping 60 points and 17 rebounds on you, damn, that's some crazy shit right there. And then you got Kyrie Irving, who also went off for 60 points in a win against the Orlando Magic. And two players this week scored 60 points. Also, if you didn't know, the Lakers, they still suck. This week, they lost. They got their asses kicked by the Raptors and then by the Timberwolves. Yeah. The Timberwolves players were actually, like, laughing them off of the court. No fucking lie. This season could not get worse for the Lakers. I mean, it's just, like, every week I'm like, can we just, like, have even a halfway decent game? Can we get, like, a little winning streak going here? Nah, we can't. No, we're gonna get, like, the last place in the playoffs and be one and done. But anyways, the Lakers, they still suck, y'all. And then in bad news, for the Golden State Warriors, at least, Steph Curry, he's going to be out indefinitely with a foot injury that he suffered the other night against the Boston Celtics. And that's a big blow for the Warriors, because he's their heart and soul. You know, they just got Draymond Green back. So we'll see what happens with the Warriors there, especially with the, you know, the Suns have not really cooled off. They had like a week where they needed to adjust without Chris Paul, but the Suns are basically back on track. So the Warriors losing Steph Curry, not a good thing, but it does look like he's going to be back for the playoffs at least. So that's good, but we'll see what happens with the Warriors over the next couple of weeks with no Steph Curry. All right, now moving on to the NFL. A whole lot of shit happened this week in the NFL. Let's start off with what happened yesterday. To me, one of the most surprising moves, I did not see this one coming, as a matter of fact. I've actually been saying for a couple weeks, there ain't no way Aaron Rodgers is re-signing with the Packers if Devontae Adams is gone. Well, guess what? The Green Bay Packers traded away Devontae Adams to the Las Vegas Raiders. I couldn't believe it. Now, this is a great move for Devontae. I mean, A, he's going from Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback, to Derek Carr, a good quarterback, who he's already played with. They went to college together at Fresno State, and so they already have a rep together. So I think this is a spectacular move by the Las Vegas Raiders, especially because, man, the AFC West teams, to start this season off, you know, it started off with, you know, Russell Wilson getting traded to the Broncos. Then you got just so much going on this week and just so many major signings with all of the AFC West teams. That division's going to be beating up on each other, but they are all looking good right now, and they got better now with Devontae Adams going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, with the Packers, what does that mean for the Packers? Because they don't have anybody who even compares to Devontae Adams. And I've mentioned before, you know, this is a good season to pick up a new receiver in free agency or in the draft this year, but damn, I don't know about losing Devontae Adams. Especially with the rep he had with Aaron Rodgers there, like, and now it actually makes sense because everybody a few weeks ago was trying to connect these Instagram posts that Aaron Rodgers made that it sounded like he was saying goodbye to the Packers. I actually think he was saying goodbye to Devontae Adams because from what the reports are saying is that Aaron Rodgers already knew this was going to happen. So my guess is that a few weeks ago when he made that kind of like sentimental post, it was more at Devontae Adams because he knew what was coming. But so I don't know what Green Bay is going to do. I mean, they got Aaron Rodgers and they've got Aaron Jones in the backfield, but they're going to need some help at wide receiver. And I mean, they could get there. Like I said, there's plenty of guys out there, but the caliber of Devontae Adams. Yeah. I don't know if you got that out there. But we'll see. Then some more interesting stuff happened this week. Baker Mayfield has now requested a trade with from the Cleveland Browns because I guess he got a little butthurt about them having an interview with Deshaun Watson because they were interested in trading for him. But then when they said they weren't interested in trading for him after they went and interviewed with him and everything, Baker Mayfield, like the same day they interviewed with Deshaun Watson, he released this post basically thanking Cleveland. And I thought it was weird because I was like, well, does that mean he knows he's getting traded? Is he going to request a trade? What's going on here? And well, yeah, now he's requested a trade. And Cleveland says they're not going to entertain it. Now, that doesn't mean they won't. I wouldn't be shocked if they did, but I don't think they will. And also like I understand Baker Mayfield being pissed off about it, but at the same time, you know, that's just the name of the game. And, I mean, even Tom Brady has had issues in the past. Like Bill Belichick was drafting Jimmy Garoppolo and basically counting Tom Brady out at one point. So it's like, this happens to basically every player. So you kind of just got to roll with the punches and get over it. But Baker Mayfield's kind of a crybaby in that way. And so he's requesting a trade. Who knows what's going to happen there? I wouldn't be shocked if he got traded, but I don't know what the Browns could do that's better than Baker Mayfield as well. Because, I mean, while I don't think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks, he's a good quarterback. He can, if he's, especially when he's healthy, and you give him some weapons, hey, man, I think he could get the job done. He's just a lot to deal with. And then a whole bunch of signings happened this week. Let's start with the embarrassing one. So at the beginning of the week, it looked like the Cowboys were going to re-sign Randy Gregory to another contract, and they even announced it, and it looked like it was all official, and then literally like 5 minutes later, it goes, oh, wait, nope, just kidding, Randy Gregory signing with the Denver Broncos. Now, I don't have a problem with the signing with the Denver Broncos. You could do whatever you want, but it's just the fact that it came out that, oh, the Cowboys signed him, and then, oh, wait, no, he didn't, he's going to Denver. That was just so stupid and so embarrassing, and so Dallas Cowboys. But they did end up re-signing Leighton Vander Esch. I do like that move. So that was a good move by them. Also, another move by the Denver Broncos is they signed defensive tackle DJ Jones. Just spent the last couple of seasons with the 49ers. And basically, he's been the second best defensive tackle in the league. So look out for the Denver Broncos, people, because not only did they trade for Russell Wilson to improve the offense, but this defense is getting stacked. Getting stacked. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with these teams in the AFC West. Honestly, at this point, it's looking like the Kansas City Chiefs could be the last place team over there. And that says a lot because they're still a damn good team. But we'll see what happens. We still got lots and lots of time until we get to that point. Then let's see what else we had going on here. Zach Ertz re-signed with the Arizona Cardinals. That's a great move. And then the Cardinals also extended running back James Conner. That's another great move. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ended up re-signing Chris Godwin. I imagine Tom Brady on retiring had something to do with that, and that's also just a great move for them. The Jaguars actually made some really big moves. Like I said, when I was breaking down all the team needs this season, that the Jaguars are basically a team that needs help at every single position. Well, they filled three spots, and they were all good moves for Trevor Lawrence. First, they signed one of the best offensive linemen available in the offseason, Sheriff. And then they signed Christian Kirk at wide receiver and then Evan Engram at tight end. So those are all great moves to help Trevor Lawrence improve as a player. And that doesn't mean I think they're going to be blowing any teams out of the water next year. But at the same time, they are in a poor division. So, hey, man, anything can happen. Maybe the Jaguars will be a halfway decent team next year and can make the playoffs. Then you also had Chandler Jones. He ended up signing with the Raiders. So the Raiders made some big moves this week as well. And then Allen Robinson signed with the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are loaded at wide receiver. I mean, they already have Cooper Kupp, one of the best receivers in the league. Then you got Robert Woods, who, yes, is going to be coming off of injury, but still great receiver. Now you add an Allen Robinson in the mix. Like, damn, that's some crazy offense for the Super Bowl champs right there. Another great signing. Miles Jack just signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. That just makes their defense even better. Miles Jack is one of probably the least talked about linebackers in the league, and he's one of the best. And the reason why is because he's played with Jacksonville for the last few seasons. But Miles Jack is an excellent linebacker. So this is a great move by Pittsburgh. They already have a stout defense. This makes them even better. Then Marcus Williams, the safety, signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Marcus May, another safety, signed with the New Orleans Saints. And then Von Miller ended up signing with the Buffalo Bills. So this makes the Buffalo Bills even better as well. And that's a huge move that they needed to make because the Bills are the kind of team where they only needed to make slight moves this offseason. They're a great team as is, but they just need a few improvements. And Von Miller, not only is he great just as a player, but this dude's got two Super Bowl rings. And in his first Super Bowl, he was the Super Bowl MVP. So this dude's, and he was great when he was in college too. I know this because he played at Texas A&M, so I've seen the motherfucker play. And so he's been great his entire career, from college to pro. And so this is some great veteran leadership to add to the locker room as well. And so we'll see what the Bills do with it next year. Those were all the off-season signings we've had so far and trades that we've had so far this week. Like I said, crazy week. And then to top it off, we've got March Madness going on. And, I know a lot of brackets got busted yesterday because we had a couple of upsets. My bracket is shockingly still intact. Now, of course, I did have a couple of losses yesterday, but for the most part, hey, my Final Four is still good. Hey, my Elite Eight is still good. My champion's still good, even though UCLA had my butthole puckering last night against Akron. Oh my God. Even in the first half, I'm like, oh my God, are they going to fucking lose this? Are they going to blow my bracket week one or game, you know, Thursday freaking night? Luckily, they were able to get by, but damn, my butthole was puckering right there. So let's recap some of the games that were on yesterday. Right now I currently have it on the Auburn and Jackson State game. So it looks like Auburn is kicking their ass 80-61 currently. So basically today's games have just gotten started. So we'll catch up where we're at, and then I'll make some predictions for the matchups for tomorrow in the round of 32 that begins tomorrow and finishes on Sunday. So let's start in the West bracket. Gonzaga took care of Georgia State yesterday, so they moved on to the round of 32. And then Memphis took care of Boise State, and they moved on to the round of 32. So their matchup is Gonzaga versus Memphis, which is what I had to begin with on my bracket. And I have Gonzaga moving on in that one. And then, let's see, yesterday UConn ended up losing to New Mexico State, and so I got that wrong. I had UConn moving on, so New Mexico State ended up moving on in a huge upset. And then Arkansas and Vermont, I had Arkansas moving on in that one, and Arkansas ended up moving on. So in the round of 32, we have New Mexico State going up against Arkansas. And so in that matchup, I'm going to take Arkansas just because I think they're the better team. New Mexico State, it was more about UConn. What didn't really play that good of a game, but hey, we'll see what happens. But I've got Arkansas moving on in that one. Yet to play, and Alabama and Notre Dame, they still play today, so I have Alabama moving on from that one. And then Texas Tech versus Montana State, that one's currently going on right now. Last I checked, Texas Tech was kicking the crap out of Montana State. No shock, because I had Tech moving on in that one. So that would make my round of 32 matchup Alabama versus Texas Tech, and I have Texas Tech moving on in that one. Then also today, Michigan State versus Davidson, I have Michigan State moving on. And then Duke versus CSU Fullerton, I have Duke moving on. So then in the round of 32, that would be Michigan State versus Duke. And then I have Duke moving on in that one. Then let's move on to the East bracket. Yesterday, Baylor beat Norfolk State. So Baylor moved on, and I had Baylor. And then North Carolina beat Marquette. I actually had Marquette moving on, so I was wrong on that one. And North Carolina moved on. So in that matchup in the round of 32, it's going to be Baylor versus North Carolina. And I had Baylor beating Marquette anyways, so I'm going to continue and keep Baylor as my winner in that matchup. Then St. Mary's versus Indiana. St. Mary's ended up moving on. That's who I had. And then UCLA versus Akron. I had UCLA moving on, and that's who ended up moving on. So in the round of 32 matchup, St. Mary's versus UCLA, I have UCLA moving on. And then Texas versus Virginia Tech. That game's actually starting here in about an hour and a half. I, of course, have Texas moving on. And then the next matchup, Purdue versus Yale. I have Purdue moving on. That's today's game. And so that would make my round of 32 matchup, Texas versus Purdue. And I actually have Purdue beating Texas because Purdue is a very good team. While I am, of course, always rooting for my Texas Longhorns, I don't think they're as good as Purdue. So I think Purdue moves on. Then one of the overtime games from yesterday, Murray State versus San Francisco. I had Murray State moving on, and that's who ended up winning. And then the major upset of yesterday's games, which also went into overtime, Kentucky versus St. Peter's. I had Kentucky moving on, as I'm sure a lot of people did, and St. Peter's ended up upsetting them in overtime. They actually played a really good game in the second half in the overtime, so that was a great game. So that round of 32 matchup is going to be Murray State versus St. Peter's. I actually had Murray State upsetting Kentucky in this one, so I'm going to go ahead and keep Murray State beating St. Peter's as my pick in that one. So now let's move over to the South Side, yeah, bracket. And so today we've got Arizona playing Wright State. I've got Arizona moving on in that one. Then Seton Hall versus TCU. I have Seton Hall moving on in that one. So in the round of 32, that would make it Arizona versus Seton Hall. I have Arizona moving on in that one. Then today we have Houston playing UAB. I have Houston moving on in that one. Then Illinois versus Chattanooga. I have Chattanooga upsetting Illinois in that one. So in my round of 32, that would be Houston versus Chattanooga, and I have Houston moving on in that one. Then yesterday, Colorado State versus Michigan. I had Michigan, and Michigan ended up moving on. Then Tennessee versus Longwood. I had Tennessee, and Tennessee ended up moving on. So the round of 32 matchup is Michigan versus Tennessee, and I have Tennessee moving on. And then today, Ohio State versus Loyola Chicago. I had Loyola Chicago winning that one, and actually they just lost. Ohio State ended up winning that one, so they moved on. And then Villanova versus Delaware is today, and I have Villanova moving on. So the round of 32 would be Ohio State versus Villanova, and I have Villanova moving on in that one. Then in the Midwest bracket, Kansas versus Texas Southern, that was yesterday. I had Kansas, and Kansas ended up winning. Then San Diego State and Creighton, they played yesterday too. That was also an overtime. That was the third overtime game yesterday that we had. And I had Creighton, and Creighton ended up winning. So round of 32 matchup is Kansas versus Creighton, and I have Kansas winning that one. Then yesterday, Iowa versus Richmond, another huge upset yesterday. Richmond ended up upsetting Iowa, and I did have Iowa in that one, so I lost that one. Then Providence versus South Dakota State, I had Providence moving on in that one, and they ended up winning. So in the round of 32, I've got Richmond versus Providence, and I had Iowa moving on in that one. So I'm going to go ahead and take Providence over Richmond in that matchup. Then today we have LSU versus Iowa State. I have Iowa State upsetting LSU and moving on. Then Wisconsin versus Colgate is also today. I have Wisconsin moving on. So that would make the round of 32 matchup Iowa State versus Wisconsin. And I have Wisconsin moving on. And then today we have USC versus Miami, Florida. And I have Miami moving on. And then Auburn versus Jacksonville State actually just ended right now. And Auburn did end up winning, and that's who I had winning. So in the round of 32, I have Miami versus Auburn, and then I have Auburn moving on in that one. And currently, like I said, my Elite Eight is currently intact. In the West, I have Gonzaga versus Texas Tech. In the East, I have UCLA versus Purdue. In the South, I have Arizona versus Tennessee. And then in the Midwest, I have Kansas versus Auburn. And then my final four, I have Gonzaga versus UCLA, Tennessee versus Auburn, and then my national championship matchup, I have UCLA versus Auburn, with UCLA ultimately winning the national champion. Right now, I have 12 picks correct. That doesn't include what happened with the two games that just ended today, Auburn and Loyola Chicago, because I'm bad at maths. Even that little bit of number, my brain explodes with math. So, yeah, I'm not going to do that shit live for you while I'm recording. That's just not what we're going to do. We've got the round of 32 beginning tomorrow. But today we have the rest of the first round. We already had some great games yesterday, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens today. Hook 'em Horns today. Hopefully my Longhorns are moving on, and they're going to be playing on Sunday. And we'll see where we're at on Monday. So I hope all of you guys enjoy the weekend of March Madness. And enjoy this amazing weekend we have, because it's always great to just watch basketball on top of basketball on top of basketball. So I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Peace.